Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, this is Mood Control.
Yo,
saying you might as well pay attention if you can't afford free. Mood Control is designed to render funkable ideas brought to you by the makers of Mr. Prolong, better known as Urge Overkill, the pimping of the flame principle.
Oh, but we'll be taking lightly, like a woodpecker with a headache, because it's cheaper to funk than it is to pay attention. You dig? A huckabuck! And lo and behold, one funking with Mood Control.
Every kind of beer.
Deprogram. Like a woodpecker with a headache.
When you take every kind of beer.
The non-profit organization.
The new business platform has expanded.
I've gone from being RichardsonConsulting.net on my website to now brand new, fresh, r.diversityworks. And that works is not with an S. It's with an X at the end. So that's r.diversityworks, LLC, my brand new website that's out there. And let me tell you, it's hot. I got to throw a shout out to my man way up there in New York, upstate New York. I've been with this guy for years now. He's done all of my websites for me, does a fantastic job, Keith Calverick of KCNY Designs. When you all check out this website, you'll see this guy has some skills. And I have to say it, yes, it's my website, but he really did a fantastic job of making it a one-stop shop so you can see all of the things that I'm involved in and all of the kinds of projects that I have going on. So if you want to check that site out, just go to www.rdiversityworks with an X at the end. That's all together. So it's www.rdiversityworks.com, and you'll see the website. On that website, it has everything on there from my book. You have a direct link. You can buy my book, Beyond Demographics, The Truth About Diversity, that's just been doing fantastic. Out there on Amazon and Barnes & Nobles, every month I'm getting sales and I'm having people call me and tell me how much they enjoy the book, and I'm really honored and humbled by that. You can also see my videos that I have out on YouTube. He's got those loaded in there. And even better, all of my past radio shows are also on the site. So you can go in there and hear all of the fantastic guests that I've had throughout this year that we've been running. My blog is also on there. I write articles periodically, and I drop those on there too, just in case you want to go out and get some knowledge on your own. If you're facing an issue at work, you can go right on the website and get you something from there to maybe push you through the rest of the day or maybe through the rest of the month, or better yet, just give me a call. That's www.rdiversityworks.com. I want to thank you, Keith. Amazing website. I told you all last call that I was also expanding the business into supplier diversity. So I teamed up with a great partner of mine up in Cleveland, Ohio, under Zaymat Distributors, Mr. Terrell Dillard. He's our CEO of the company. We're doing some great things out there, everything from bulk fuel to construction equipment, you name it. We're really getting ready to do some big things. Just had a meeting up there last week where we had some great partnership development and all that kind of stuff happening. So I'm really excited about that. You all will be hearing from us on that format as well. Black-owned business, also the veteran-owned. I've been in the military, and I have some disability, so it's going to be minority-owned and also veteran-owned business that we're going to try to go out here and do some new things with this supplier diversity. So I'm excited about that too. It has been since last November since I wrote the book, the first book, and I think it's about time for me to put pen to the pad again. I just need a little bit of time to kind of relax and kind of just woo-saw with this retirement and de-stress a little bit so I get my mind right. But I'm ready to put this pen to the pad again and come out with another edition. The book has been going, you know, so well right now. I'm really humbled at the experience that I've had so far with this. So I want to thank all of you out there who have purchased the book and the support that you've given me this last year. Thursday, I want to announce that I am going back to the city of Titusville, Florida, which is right up the road from here, just north of us here in Melbourne. I teamed up with some great folks up there. Chief John Lau is the chief of Titusville Police Department. And I told you all on the last call, he contacted me a few months ago, and we had a really good conversation and some nice dialogue about trying to create a forum, a community forum, where our law enforcement and our police departments better serve our minority communities. And I just commend them for reaching out to me with this challenge to try to form a committee and try to have a forum where we can sit down as citizens and, along with the police department, figure out how we can curtail some of these things that we're seeing in the news. And they're being proactive with it. They're not waiting until something happens and then all of a sudden they're calling, you know, for help. They're trying to get in front of this thing. Reverend Blatch up there in Titusville, those guys are helping me out too. I really appreciate it. Got a chance to drive up Saturday and meet some really great people that I hope will come out. That's going to be at the Parish Medical Center this Thursday from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. I'm going to be doing a presentation up there, number 2 of 4. It's going to be a 4-part forum that we're going to have, and at the end of it, we're going to come up with some ideas as to how we can have a better relationship with law enforcement in these communities. So I'm really looking forward to that. Being a retired police officer, I'm just happy about that opportunity. So I hope you all that are listening, if you're close by, please come out, sit down, take a listen. It's going to be some good times there. We're going to get some work done up there, and I'm excited about that. So a little while ago, February time frame, while I was at DOMI as the program manager of senior leader training, that we do human relations and diversity all over the world, I had the opportunity to be assigned to put on a diversity or collaborative series conference there. And we bring in, you know, speakers from all over the world. And I was charged with actually putting that together and finding speakers to come in and make this conference a success. And while I was doing it, let me tell you, I got so many submissions that we couldn't really keep up with them. So we had a little team together that we sat down and I went through and picked what I thought would be the best of the best for this particular platform. And I had the opportunity to get a submission from a lady who I am so happy that I was able to get her tonight as our guest, Ms. Juliette Hall. She came to me by way of Suzanne Lucene, from Connected Sphere, which is a speakers bureau. And I got a chance to see her submission and her videos and read her bio. And let me tell you, once again, if you've listened to the show, you see the quality and the caliber of speakers that we have and guests that we have on this show. And she is right there with everybody that you've all heard previously. I was so impressed by what I saw from her and her body of work that I really just had to get her in the lineup. And successfully, we made that happen. And, of course, she went there and she basically stole the show. My phone was blowing up. I had knee replacement surgery at the time, so I couldn't attend. So I had to sit on the sidelines, but my phone was blowing up and people just telling me how engaging she was at the conference. So I said, well, hey, if I got her for the conference, let's bring her on the show tonight and let my audience share in some of her knowledge. So I'm just going to give you a little background about Juliette Hall and the things that she is out there doing right now. So she is the creator of Own Your Own Opportunities. Now, this is an inspiration to take action speaking and training platform that promotes knowing your value and investing in your value and sharing your value, as I am doing here on this radio show tonight. After 20 years of corporate management experience, she worked for national brands like Chick-fil-A and Wachovia Bank, which is now Wells Fargo. Juliette's passion for inspiring others to self-discovery is undeniable, and I can tell you that for a fact that is true. She has presented to audiences around the country and to the world. She's spoken in South Africa, Zambia, Algeria, Niger, and Brazil. She's been all over the place, folks, world traveler. Juliette is actively serves on the local and national boards, including the Urban League of Greater Atlanta. She's currently the board chair there, and Leadership Women. She is a member of the Lynx Incorporated, Camellia Rose Chapter, and an Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, a.k.a. She earned her Bachelor's of Arts degree from the world-renowned College of Spelman, and she earned her master's degree of business administration from Terry College. at the University of Georgia. When she has a little moment to breathe, Juliet also likes to write. She has her journal, which is her online blog, and tonight she's going to give you the opportunity to get the information. You can go out there and take a read at what she's doing. So I am elated. I am happy. I am so honored tonight to have our distinguished guest, Ms. Juliet Hall. Juliet, how are you doing tonight? Welcome.
Thank you, Gary, so much. I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me on your show.
Good. Well, so we know you're calling from Hotlanta, right? Is it
hot
right now?
It is very hot.
All right. Well, it's hot here in Florida, too. So we got two hot places with two hot speakers on a hot radio show. So we need to go ahead and light this thing up tonight. So, Juliet, why don't you just tell my audience a little bit about yourself and your background. I know I read a little bit of your bio, but let us know a little bit more about you. So let the audience hear who you are.
Sure. So I actually have a very diverse background. I'm born and raised in Columbia, South Carolina. And when I came to Atlanta to go to Spelman, I never really left except for maybe 3 months to live in Winston-Salem. And then I came back to Atlanta. And when I originally began my career journey post Spelman, I really thought I was going to go into broadcast journalism. But when I was at Spelman, I had way too much fun and I was got a little distracted. So when I graduated, I just needed a job,
right.
And that's when I began working for Wachovia Bank because that was the only company that would accept me, that would hire me at the time. And I worked in banking operations for 3.5 years, and then I just decided that it wasn't for me. It was an organization. It's a good organization, but you really have to make sure that you're a good cultural fit wherever you go. And I knew that and made a decision that my quality of life means more to me than any amount of than any title or any amount of money. And I didn't just want to exist in this world. I truly wanted to live. And while at Wachovia, I began exploring moonlighting opportunities to act, and I joined an acting agency. And so there's a creative part of me that enjoys writing and enjoys the stage, and it's something that I'm naturally good at. But you know, when I was in my early 20s, I just wasn't quite sure how to connect the dots to all of that. So in my background, while I have the corporate experience of banking, I also have a creative side of playwriting, a little bit of acting, and I actually, after I left Wachovia, I decided that, okay, if I'm not going to go to Hollywood to pursue my red carpet dream, then I needed to work for an organization that was also going to work for me.
Right.
And I was in a Chick-fil-A restaurant at the time. I was having this conversation with God about next steps in my life, and I came up with this mental model of what I wanted out of a company. I wanted, and I call it the three P's. The first P is I wanted the principles or the values of the organization to be consistent with mine. Secondly, I wanted there to be a focus on people, where there was truly an investment in people and an opportunity for upward mobility. And then finally, I wanted to be excited about the product. That's the third P. And I was in a Chick-fil-A restaurant, Gary. I took a bite of the Chick-fil-A sandwich. I was like, oh, my gosh, I can get excited about this. So that's what opened the door for me to apply to Chick-fil-A. And I was with them for 17 years. My background there includes consulting to restaurant franchisees, multimillion-dollar franchisees. So I was a consultant for 13 years. And then I spent time in the marketing department of Chick-fil-A and was able to lead a fascinating business unit called Backstage Tours, which is the storytelling side of the organization. And that's really where I began to develop and refine my gifts of stage and speaking, because I had opportunities to just tell the Chick-fil-A story. And I did that inside the corporation, outside the corporation. I traveled globally with the company, with the philanthropic arm of the company, to teach servant leadership. And, you know, and working for Chick-fil-A just allowed me to really tap into the gifts that I knew I had, but also to develop and refine them. And then I ended my career in community affairs, and where I served as an ambassador and in a public-facing external affairs capacity for the organization. And then after that, I just decided that it was the company was no longer a cultural fit for me. I had outgrown it, and it was really time for me to pursue a more divine calling for my life. And I wanted to be aligned spiritually with the work that I know that God has for me, and wanted to just pursue my life assignment. And I look at the 20 years that I spent in corporate America, in addition to just all the opportunities that I had to explore the creative side of me, and I'm putting it all together now and with Own Your Opportunities, because I want to encourage people to believe in themselves again and to build the corporation that's inside of them. And so so I have a very I've been, my background includes a lot. I've been able to do a lot of different things, and it's all been to help prepare me for the stage of life that I'm in now.
Well, that's fantastic, and I can tell you, I think that you are right where you're supposed to be. I had the pleasure of being able to at least sit down with you after the conference was over and have a conversation with you, and from my professional background and experience, I think you are right at home with what you are doing, and I am here, you know, to make sure that I can help you any way that I can, which starts us off with this radio show. Now, I just want to ask you a couple of things, because you mentioned some things here that really kind of piqued my interest. The first one, let's talk about that cultural fit for a minute, because I know I've had my own experiences, and I know some of the listeners out there have had their experiences with either being in the right cultural fit or in the wrong cultural fit, or not even being aware that there is a cultural fit. So tell us about that a little bit. When you say cultural fit, what do you mean by that, and how did it not fit you, or how did you grow out of that cultural fit when you were in those organizations?
Right. So, you know, let's first define culture. And, you know, and when I think of what is culture, what does that mean? You know, it can mean different things to different people. It could, you know, mean like a way of life, a lifestyle. But within the context of an organization, you have to look at what is the natural response to things. What is the natural response to people?
Okay.
So when you think about it in those terms, when you step inside a corporation, how do those people receive you? Is it a cult? Is it a system, an organization? And I'll use system interchangeably, because in my journey I've realized that working in any organization, you're working within a system. You're working within a set of rules and a way of thinking, and so when it comes to culture, what is the natural response to individuals who come in and who think differently than you, who look differently than you? And I do think that with culture, at the foundation of a culture is the set of values that that organization espouses. And so for me, when you want to define for yourself, are you the right fit for a culture and an organization, you know, start with the values of the organization, which is, again, it goes to the first P of my model, the principles, you know, principles, values, are they consistent with mine? And I value, there are things that I value. I value honesty. I value being treated with honor, dignity, and respect. I value opportunities for growth and development. And so to the listeners out there, if you're in an organization or if you're looking to work for another organization, if that's what you want to do, you have to analyze what matters to you, what's important to you, and is there a match with that, with your values and the values of that organization.
Right.
Because the values coupled with the leadership who lives out those values, that is what frames the culture. That is what affects the culture.
Right.
And it starts at the top. And so if you have values but the leaders at the top don't live by those values, then
right.
it will impact the culture, the natural response to you
right.
and to
right.
others in that organization. So so that's, you know, that's what I would say about culture. You know, what is the natural response? And you know, when you're looking, certainly when I applied to Chick-fil-A many, many years ago, I had opportunities to really sit down with different people. I mean, for one, I interviewed like, I don't know, with 14 different people.
Wow.
And you can really, if you pay attention, you
yes.
can, you just, all you got to do is look at the people's faces, look at
yeah.
how they talk about their work, their role, how they feel in the organization. Do they feel safe? How are they treated when goals aren't being met? You know, is there a spirit of grace in the organization, or do people walk around with their heads held low? I mean, you can look at the body language of individuals, and you ought to be able to put together a picture of what culture, of what that culture is like. So, so that's what I would say
okay.
to your question.
Yeah, that couldn't have been stated any more eloquently than you just stated, because today, literally, I sent out a tweet this morning, and I like to tweet questions to make people think about their culture and what they're doing in the workplace as leaders, and that tweet was simply this. I asked the question, if the world were to agree to follow you, where would you take it? And then questions after that were, where would the world think you were taking it? Would they know once they got there? And do you know where you're going? And if you can't answer those questions, then why would anybody follow you? And a lot of times when you talk about that culture, people go out and they apply for a job without really looking or finding out what the culture is of that organization. And then they get there and they get upset because there's not a cultural fit. And there's a saying that we have at Diomi, at least I know I used to say it all the time anyway, but I joined that organization. I joined the military. The military didn't join me. So once I understand what that culture is, if I don't fit or if I don't agree with it, it may be time for me to move on to the next thing. When they change policies that I don't agree with, well, I can sit there and complain all I want to, but that's the culture of the organization. And either I can be a part of it or I can part ways with it. And so what you said is very important for people to think about when they're actually going out there looking for a career or an organization to join. So I just really like that response. I can clearly understand where you're coming from. And there's another one that you stated that I really want to talk about or want you to talk about a little bit, and that's connecting the dots. When you talked about that connecting the dots of your talents, if you will, what did that look like and what did you need to do in order to connect all of that, you know, that creativity and the speaking and your corporate knowledge? How did you connect those dots of your talents to get where you are right now?
Trial and error,
yeah.
taking risks.
Yeah.
You know, when I think for many people, Gary, when you're in your early 20s, fresh out of college, not everybody knows what he or she really wants to do.
Right.
There's an inkling that I believe we all have. We have dreams.
Yes.
And what I have discovered in my journey is that the older we get, the more numb we become to our dreams. Because culture, again, culture, the society in which we live in, tells us to, you know, you get your education,
yes,
get a job, pay your bills, get a family, and die.
Right.
But society never tells us to listen to our dreams. See, when we were children, there was a freedom and a boldness that we had as kids to say to the world, I'm going to be the president of the United States one day, or I'm going to be a writer, or I'm going to be a fashion designer, or I'm going to be like Mike. And, you know, and there are a lot of well-intended parents that crush those dreams by saying, be realistic.
Yeah.
And over time, you begin to pay attention to that. So you put on the back burner those dreams that gave you hope and a belief and an optimistic desire to live out a preferred future for yourself. And that's where a lot of people don't connect the dots, because they postpone or defer their dreams.
Yes.
And over time, the longer you defer anything, it just diminishes and you lose it.
Yes.
For me, fortunately for me, there's a part of me that's just very hard-headed. And and so as I got older, yes, I needed a job. I knew that when I graduated from college, I knew that I didn't want to go back to Columbia, South Carolina to live.
Right.
I knew that I didn't want to go back to school right away. I just had to find a way. And while I was working at the bank, I was unfulfilled, because I knew, A, that the culture wasn't a fit for me, but I also just didn't feel like my own natural abilities, my gifts, my talents were being utilized.
Yes.
And people have to understand that your purpose is connected to your gifts. I learned that later on in life, but at the time when I'm in my early 20s, I just didn't know.
Yes.
It's so important to be in a role where you feel energized, because
if you're
in a role where you're utilizing your gifts, and gifts being your natural tendencies, your abilities, the things that you do extremely well, effortlessly, that's where your confidence is. That's where your energy lives.
Right.
And if you're in a role where you're not exercising that, then you, for a lot of people, you go to work feeling drained, or you feel like there's a more to your life, and you succumb to this, I just got to pay the bills because that's what the world expects of me. I'm saying all that because, for me, that just wasn't good enough, and I just wasn't going to live life unnoticed. I wasn't going to live life going home and not feeling like I really added tremendous value, not just to the people I was working for, but I wanted to feel valuable.
Right.
And I just didn't feel that way because I just wasn't in a role where I was where I was truly thriving. I was surviving, but I wasn't thriving.
Yes.
So what did I do? I just had to ask myself, well, you know, Juliet, what is it that you really want to do? And I just went back to those dreams. I went back to those quiet whispers of my youth and just like, well, what if I just did this? What if I did that? You know, at the time, I mean, well, I'm not married now, but I certainly wasn't married then. I didn't have any, children. All I had was me, and so I had the freedom to really just say, you know what? What if I just did this? What if I, you know, just, you know, it may seem crazy to other people, but it was something that I wanted to do. I pursued community theater.
Right.
I started there because one thing I did know is that I've always enjoyed being on a stage. And again, those it goes back to those quiet daydreams, you know, of where I saw myself in my mind, in my head. And I've learned, it took me a while to understand it, but I believe those quiet thoughts, those whispers, those daydreams in our in our head,
mm-hmm.
those are our cues and our clues of the blueprint, the divine blueprint that that God embedded in us to live and to be. And, you know, now am I acting now? No, but it's like all things have come together now because all the preparation, all the experience, the opportunities, the global exposure, the lessons learned on leadership, my mistakes as well as my successes, all of those were teaching moments to center me and to get me to a place where I can say I'm ready to really take the stage, the world stage that God has prepared for me. And so things have all come together. The dots have connected, but it all began with my own initiative to pursue, to say, okay, I'm not getting the fulfillment here at the bank. I'm getting a paycheck, and that's fine for now.
Right.
So let me pursue in my free time. Let me read. Let me study. Let me, you know, take on volunteer opportunities. Let me try different things and see where it goes, see where it takes me, because even if I don't, you know, if it doesn't lead me to the Academy Awards, at least it does help me to learn more about myself and the things that I enjoy doing and the things that I do well,
mm-hmm.
what my sweet spot is, where I feel like I'm a genius.
Right.
It gave me insight into discovering who Juliet is. So, so that's how you connect the dots. You have to pay attention to yourself. You got to pay attention to your thinking, and you have to be willing to be bold and courageous enough to say, you know what, I'm just going to take a chance and I'm going to try this one thing, and see where it leads me. Because one thing will always lead to the next thing, and then the next thing leads to the next. And you owe it to yourself to love yourself and to just try it. And I'll end that question by saying this, because there are people that are listening to this program who have these dreams, but they're just afraid.
Right.
They're afraid of failure. They're afraid of being embarrassed. There was this woman that calls me. She was someone that I met while I was speaking at a women's empowerment conference in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she was just at a crossroads, and she was, you know, in literally in tears. And I was like, okay, here's my number in America. You call me, and I'll, you know, I'm here to encourage you.
Right.
And she called me, and we talked. And then about a few weeks ago, she told me about this opportunity that she really wanted to sing. But she was afraid, and I said, well, what are you afraid of? You know, why? She said, well, I tell myself that I can't do it. I said, well, what exactly are you saying? She said, well, I can't do it, and I'll be embarrassed. And I said to her, honey, embarrassment is not the worst thing that could happen to you. Not fulfilling your dream, not being the person that you are called to be, that you, not living out your intended creation.
Yes.
That's the worst thing that can happen to you. Embarrassment is not the worst thing. So to the listeners out there who are afraid to connect the dots, take a chance. You know, just go for it. And even if it doesn't turn out the way that you want it to, that's not the end of the world. Embarrassment is not the worst thing that can happen to you.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, that's, folks, this is why I have these types of guests on my show, because they just come with a wealth of knowledge. And this is why I invite you every month to Tribe Family Channel Radio. This is what you're listening to on Blog Talk Radio. I am Mr. Gary Richardson, your host extraordinaire. And tonight we have Ms. Juliet Hall with us. fantastic guest has just given us so much knowledge, and I really like that about connecting the dots of your talents, because I had to go through that same sort of process to get to where I am, playing college football and all that kind of stuff, wanted to be an athlete, and I was, but that's not the thing that God signed off for me to do. But I took all of those things, put them together, and combined them into one package to be the presenter that I am today, and to bring us to this platform. And that is so important for people to understand, that you got to take that risk on yourself, right? You got to be willing to be awkward. You got to be willing to take a chance. So I really wanted you to explain that to people, because we do have people out there every single day. I talk to them all the time, and I'll ask them, hey, what would you do if money wasn't the issue? If you didn't have any bills, you didn't have to worry about anything financially, what would you do? And you know what they'll say? They'll start off like this. Well, you're going to think it's stupid. Okay, well, time out. Why would you start off calling your own aspirations and ventures stupid and then expect somebody else to believe in it? If that's the way you think about it, those things will keep you from trying them. So let's try to erase that. Juliet Hall has given you some great information, folks, to really try to. I hope you all are taking notes out there. But if you're not, Juliet, real quick, before we get too far into the show, can you give people your website and how to get in touch with you if they ever wanted to continue this conversation or call you for a presentation? Let the listeners have your information real quick.
Absolutely. I have a website, and it's very simple, juliethall.com. And as long as you spell my name right, just think Romeo and Juliet, okay? Whenever in doubt, spell my name the way that it is supposed to be spelled, according to Shakespeare, Romeo and Juliet. But juliethall.com, that's juliethall.com. That's my website. And on my website includes all of my content, my bios, my blog, which I really enjoy my writing for my blog. So there's a lot of information there. You can also connect with me on social media. Twitter, it's at Juliet Hall. Or you can I also have an Own Your Opportunities Twitter channel, which is at OYO Legacy. That's at OYO Legacy. You can connect with me on Facebook at Juliet Hall Official. LinkedIn is Juliet Hall. Instagram is Juliet.Hall. So really, all you got to do is remember my name, because all of my channels pretty much coincide with my name. But start with my website. That's the easiest way to connect with me. And a tab for you to contact me if you're wanting to learn more about me, or if you want to connect with me personally. I'm very responsive to emails and if people contact me through social media. I'm very responsive, so I enjoy connecting with people. It's what I do. It's my life now, and I'm here. I'm here to help you, help encourage you, and and help you along your journey towards self-discovery and self-empowerment.
Great. Fantastic. And, you know, I was just sitting here, and it just jogged my memory as we're going through this discussion. I wanted to go to a passage that's in my book that speaks exactly to the point that you just made about taking the risk and connecting those dots. And for those of you out there who have purchased the book Beyond Demographics, The Truth About Diversity, if you get a chance, you go to page 161. And in the second paragraph, I just want to read this to kind of connect the dots to what Juliet just spoke about. I talk about my commitment to being a diversity consultant. And what I wrote was, had I not committed myself to doing what I love and listened to my subconscious mind, I may have gone after a more popular and prestigious career. It happens often in our society. I see people chase the popularity train, never stopping to ask themselves, is this the right career for me? So much talent is lost this way. People convince themselves that they must go for the most lucrative, most prestigious job, whether it's a fit for them or not. Because they possess the intellect and the ability to be a financial wizard or computer analyst, they seek out the most reputable, well-known firms to work for, rather than using their talents to do what they love. That's exactly what you were talking about. And let me ask you, since you have gone that route, is it fulfilling to you? Does this make you feel complete when you wake up in the morning knowing that, hey, I'm creating my own culture within my own company? How does this make you feel now that you have taken that risk and gambled on yourself?
So it feels great. There's a sense of freedom that I have, and people, you know, success means different things to different people.
Right.
One of my definitions of success is freedom.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And you talk, you know, when you were talking about Gary, you know, just not, you know, taking those shackles off and not having
goodness.
To put a razor to your face again.
Yes.
And
yes.
Not having to suit up, you know, put the uniform,
yes.
You know, brand yourself with the name tags and all, you know.
Oh, my goodness, yes,
then,
absolutely.
You know, that the moment I left the corporate system, I mean, there was this land of spaciousness. And it was all mine. It was like, now I can really spread my wings. I'm out of the cage. I can.
Right.
And a lot of people don't want to get out the cage. A lot of people are just, they find, for whatever reason, it's what they know is safe for them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're afraid to just fly out the cage. Well, you know, for me, you know, now that I'm building my own company, building my own brand, there's this freedom that you just really can't describe it. I can't describe it as eloquently as I would like to, but it feels great to answer your question. And it's like the sky's the limit, and I feel so unstoppable.
Yeah.
And let me be clear too. That's not to say that I don't wake up on some mornings asking myself, "Oh my gosh, what am I doing?" Because see, when you're working for someone else, you're allowing other people to think for you.
Yes,
and
you are.
It's like you don't have to. Other people give you they tell you what your goals are.
Right.
They tell you what time you got to show up to work. They tell
right.
you, in your case, what you have to wear.
Yep.
You know, it's like you're being instructed and controlled. And for people for many people, they get used to that and they feel comfortable in that.
Yes.
Because it requires less of them it requires them to, you know, to not have to work a little extra harder, think a little extra harder. I mean, if you look at it in that way, as I do. So when I wake up some mornings, there are, especially when I first started, I remember just, you know, being in tears. I'm just, to be honest, I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? You know, how do I create my day? What structure do I put in place for my day? Because I'm used to doing, you know, I'm used to being on the clock, if you will.
Yeah.
Now I don't, you know, I don't have a clock. I'm on a different, you know, I set the clock. And, and so there are times when I don't feel quite as productive as I need to be, but then I realize, you know what? I mean, I can say with so much confidence, this is what I prepare for, and where I believe God is taking me. He's already made the provision for me, and so I tell people what God calls for, He provides for, and if
you
are
go.
In alignment, if you are in alignment, and that's the key, you got to be in alignment.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be in alignment with who you are, with the gifts that you were born with.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, I don't know how people can make it through the world without having a spiritual source. I mean, we're all spiritual creatures, and for me, God is everything. And so God is my power source, so I have to plug into Him daily to make sure that I stay in alignment. And Yeah, and I'll, forgive me in advance if I ramble, if I talk in tangents here.
Hey, no, listen, this is knowledge. People need this. That's why I have you on the show. We don't ramble on a talk radio show. That's what we do. You know, but what you described is what I've told my listeners, or what I describe as the Trinity or the Trilogy, whatever you believe in. And that Trinity or Trilogy is, first, you must have the passion to do that thing that you're doing. If you don't have the passion to do it, somebody else is going to come and get your food because they want it more than you.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that you have to believe in so wholeheartedly that when everybody is asleep, you're up grinding. You've got to have that passion. Number two, you must have the talent to do that thing that you're doing, okay? You got to have the talent. So passion without talent is the first few nights of American Idol. You got a whole lot of people up here that have the passion, but they don't have the talent, okay? So you got to have the talent, and you have to recognize, and you mentioned this earlier, your strengths. You know, some people need to go out and read. There's a good book by Tom Rath. You may have heard about it, Strength Finder.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about capitalizing and focusing on your strengths more so than your weaknesses. Here, we like to focus on our weaknesses and work on those instead of, you know, cultivating our strengths. So people need to go out and get that. So you have the passion, the talent, and third is what you just ended with. For me, is God also, but it has to be signed off, co-signed, and blessed by your higher power.
Mm-hmm.
If you have those three things, all those opportunities, the money, the networks, everything you need will come to you in droves. It may not come when you think it should come, it may not even come when you want it to come, but trust me, it will come.
Mm-hmm.
So you must
right.
be ready. And that's what we're talking about here tonight on Tribe Family Channel, folks. This is what we do every month on this show, Diversity Works. And I am your host, Gary Richardson. I'm always going to be open and honest with you all. I want you all to continue to join us on this show, push a movement for positive outcomes within this society, because I'm sure, Juliet, you've seen the news and everything else, all of this stuff that's going on, people fighting against each other, calling each other names. I think I'm back in elementary school when I turn on the news some days and I see and hear what's going on. And for me, I'm like, hey, in this chaos, I'm going out here to get mine. You all can argue all day if you want to. Waste your time doing that. I'm going to find out how to leave a legacy of something positive back here. On this earth, and that's what I want to do. That's the platform for the show. That's why I bring you on here. If you all want to get in touch with me as your host, you can go to r.diversityworks. That's r.diversityworks with an X at the end, .com. Check out that brand new website. You can send me a message through there. You can hit me up on email at gary.rconsulting. ING at the end. So that's gary.rconsulting@gmail.com. You can also reach me there. On those two platforms, if you ever want to get in touch with Juliet and you didn't get her information, you can always hit me up. I'll get in touch with her. She'll get in touch back. But let's again, Juliet, roll your information out to the listeners so that they'll have it. And if they want to contact you, they'll be able to.
Absolutely. Please, please, please contact me. By first visiting my website, juliethall.com. That's JULIETHALL.com. Start with my website, and you can connect to all of my social media channels from there. You can also access my email address or fill out a contact form. So just visit my website, or you can just Google Juliet Hall, and that should also pull up my website as well. So just remember my name. If you can remember my name, then you'll be able to contact me. JulietHall.com, JulietHall.com.
Great, great. So, Juliet, we are quickly coming up to the top of the hour. The show is almost about to close out, and my spaceship is just starting to get warmed up. They're getting ready to fly me back to Planet Lovetron so I get some more information on this diversity thing. I can stay up there and lounge now since I'm retired. I don't have to worry about coming back until the day of the show. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. So leaving out, what's one thing that you can tell our audience as a little nugget to keep them pursuing their dreams? What would you like to say to them leaving out tonight?
So I'm going to end with this because this is a mantra that I just adopted from myself. You can either build your own kingdom or you can be a glorified, unfulfilled laborer in someone else's.
Wow.
And I encourage all the listeners tonight, pay attention to your dreams. There's a business inside of you. There's a kingdom inside of you. And that kingdom requires that you take courage. That kingdom requires that you take all of your life experiences and roll them all up together to launch whatever it is that's truly inside of you. That kingdom requires you to live out your intended creation, how God designed you, the uniqueness that's inside of you. You were meant to be that person. So if you just elevate your thoughts, elevate your thinking, and think about what that kingdom looks like for you, how you thrive in that kingdom, let that give you the impetus, let that give you the fuel to embolden yourself to pursue, to step out on faith and to launch for yourself what your dreams are.
Absolutely, absolutely. And because this is a show, a platform on diversity, for those of you who out there that may not believe in God, may not believe in a religion, may not even think about anything like that, what she is saying to you all is that you have to believe in something, and that something is you. I will always tell people, when you go to work in the morning and that building does not have your name on it, there is no security in that job. They can fire you, they can let you go anytime they want to and replace you with someone else. So if you're relying on those types of things as your security, as Julia said earlier, you know, the company thinks for you. They make the decisions for you. That's great. I stayed in career for a long time, long enough to retire because I wanted to get that pension so that I could kick back and then do my thing the way I need to have it done. But those careers were my platform to elevate me to the status that I'm in now. So I took all of those things, all of those jobs, going to college like Juliet did, playing football in college, doing all the things that I've done over my careers. I took all of those things, I tied them up into a neat little bundle that's flexible and malleable, meaning that you can move it, you can shape it. And every encounter that I've had, every experience that I've had with you all as my listeners, and the general public, the people that listen to me speak, those things have shaped me into the presenter that I am now. I think Juliet was saying the same thing. She took those experiences and made them work for her. So if you're sitting there and you're saying to yourself, I wish I could, my question to you, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting on? The opportunity is there for you to do it. If you want it, go get it, because I tell people every single day, the world is so small now, there's so many people, and we're connected with social media. Don't be upset that while you're sitting back thinking about what you're going to do or want to do, that somebody out there is already doing or going to do what it is you're sitting there thinking about doing. And the next time you turn on the television or you see a show or something like that and there's your idea, just think that could have been you. So I want you all to stay with us. We're going to be back here next month. Juliet, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. You're a wealth of knowledge, just a beautiful soul. We will always be connected. You're a great person. this is the caliber of guests that I have on the show, folks. And if she's provided you anything, make sure you reach out to her, thank her, go onto her website. This is Our Diversity Works. We will see you next month.
Hey.